If any of you adults would like to play with the sand on the before you leave, you're welcome. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It really is. When I first saw it, I thought it was bread dough. Kind of has a similar consistency to that. If you would, turn into your pew Bible to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 to 12. And as you're doing that, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this day which we can gather together in your name. This day which we can share with one another your love and a desire to learn and to grow. We thank you for your display of grace in our lives in this moment. That you share with us your word through your scripture. You share with us your love through one another, most especially through your Son Jesus. Help us, Lord, to grow in knowledge of you, and in growing in knowledge, we grow in obedience. We might share and love with one another. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please follow along the best you can. I'll read slowly. This is Paul, however, and so Paul sometimes reads a little confusingly, but I'll slow it down. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is plain of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known in the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. It's a lot of words there. And Paul sometimes doesn't read very easily. Book of Romans, did a Bible study in the Book of Romans, and it's a lot of great stuff, but sometimes it's hard to understand. Let me try this. What Paul's trying to do is to tell the people, the Gentiles, that God is doing a new thing. Now, today's a special day in the life of the church. It's one of those named Sundays. Do you know what name today has?
What does Epiphany mean? Just the word, not in the Christian context we find ourselves. But what does the word...
The what? New beginnings, not exactly. Have you ever had an epiphany? What have you had when you had an epiphany? An aha. That's right. It's an aha moment. Or as the bulletin, the sermon title today, the oh. That oh moment. That moment where you finally get it. Where you finally understand. Where it strikes you and you're just like, oh, I see. What's that song? I see clearly now the rain. It's, you know. It's that moment in life, that epiphany. So what is the epiphany? And what is the typical scripture you hear for the epiphany? That one. The wise men are the symbols of the epiphany season. That's usually what the pastor preaches on during the epiphany season. So let me very quickly run through the story of the wise men for you. The wise men are a group of men, we assume. And we assume three because they brought three gifts. But we have no idea how many they were. They were from a foreign land, and they saw a star in the sky, and they came, they recognized that the meaning of that star was that a king has been born. And so they traversed all the way, and we have no idea how far, but we do know it's quite far. And it took them about roughly 2 years in order to make that distance. So they travel all that way, they make it to Jerusalem because they figure Jerusalem is the hotbed of knowledge. And they ask where the king has been born, and that upsets the Herod. And so he takes them somewhere out, or tells them to go to Bethlehem. They find Jesus in a house. He's roughly 2 years old at that point. And then they bow down and they worship Jesus, and they present Jesus gifts as king. Basically, what we see is they recognize Jesus as king. Why they are the symbol of the Epiphany is the Epiphany is the knowledge or the moment that we realize that this thing that God is doing through Jesus Christ, it's not just for the Jews. It's for all the world. Now let's go back even further throughout the Bible, all the way to Abraham. What did God say to Abraham? I will bless you and turn you into many nations, and you will be blessed in order to be a blessing to others. In other words, your nation, which I will turn you into, will be a blessing to all other nations. So we see a broader scope, even all the way back in the day of Abraham. So my question is, how new is this Epiphany? If we knew all the way back in Abraham that God was doing something through Abraham, through the people Israel, that would bless all the world, how is the knowledge of the wise men, that they come from other nations worshiping Jesus as a king, how is that new? I mean, already we knew that Israel would do something for all the world. Israel even recognized that the Messiah would come as king. So what's so new about this? The neat thing is that what is new is this. Israel's a club. Israel's a club that has been created in order to love and bless those within the club and also to love and bless those outside of the club. To take care of them, to provide for them. Blessed to be a blessing is that you take what you've been given and you use that in order to bless others. And Israel does that. But the Epiphany, the aha, the thing that Paul just gives his entire life to, is that now the doors of that club has been blown open. And now no longer are they doing ministry and providing for things for people outside of them. But now they're bringing those people who are outside of them into them. That's the aha moment. No longer are they people to be doing ministry to, but now they're people to be doing ministry with. This is now no longer an exclusive club, but it includes all people. Now that's so hard for them to understand, but the wise men, they got it. You see, they weren't just bowing down and worshiping a king. They were bowing down and worshiping their king. They didn't see Jesus as just born a king of the Jews. They saw Jesus as born king of the world, king of all nations. The Epiphany, what it tells us in our lives today, is that Jesus just didn't come for this select group of people that are sitting here within these walls on Sunday morning. Jesus came for this select group of people sitting here on Sunday morning, and those who are sitting in front of their TV, and those who are out shopping, and those who live within Trafford, and those who live within Monroeville, and those who live within Allegheny County and Pennsylvania and United States and so on and so forth. That it's not just our tight-knit circle that Jesus came to die for, but it's for each person outside of us. The church, sometimes get into the same kind of rut that the Israelites got into. We do a lot of great ministry. I'm not just talking about Trinity here, but churches all throughout the United States, all throughout the world. We have outreach programs. The coats are wonderful. The mittens and the hats, which we're doing. The food bank items that we do, we give to the food bank. We do things to provide the needs of those who are around us. And that's wonderful. But that's blessed to be a blessing. Jesus takes it a step further. No longer now are we just blessed to be a blessing to others, but now we are blessed in order to have relationship with others. When you go home today, I want you to read an article. I just read it this morning. Wonderful how it fit. How many of you are familiar with the term Skid Row? You know where the largest Skid Row exists? It's in Los Angeles. And I can't remember the number offhand. I just read the article this morning. I think it's within just a couple city blocks, there lives 2,000 homeless people sleeping on the streets every day. There's a man there, Officer Joseph, huge guy, 6'2", burly muscles. Says when he first went into Skid Row, he saw that his job was to provide for them safety and provide for them things that they need. He would pass out hygiene kits, and he still does that. And he would keep the peace, and he would always remain at arm's length. He's been there 17 years now, and now people know him, and he knows them, because now he has opened his life and his arms to them, and now is in relationship with them. That's the epiphany moment. When we realize that through Jesus Christ, God did not just come down to provide for our needs, but God came down through Jesus Christ to embrace us. And it's my prayer that as a church, that we take that epiphany moment seriously. And we don't just keep people at arm's length and provide for their needs by placing things in their pockets, but that we embrace them into our own lives, invite them into our own midst. We bring them into our lives, into the life that Jesus Christ has given to us, and truly live out that now we are joint heirs through Jesus Christ that Paul was referring to. And that's not easy, because when you bring people into your lives, you share with them your insecurities and theirs. But that's what's wonderful about the love of Christ, for it's greater than those things. And we praise God for each opportunity that Christ will give us to do just that.